Esther's getting the broadcast going.
Okay, you're good.
Excellent. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a special meeting. It's 9:30 on July 1st, and I'll call this meeting to order. Okay, well, it's July. Can't believe it. Like, what happened to June?
Shot right by.
Gosh, I can't. It's kind of depressing to think that it's already the 4th of July weekend and summer's half over, although in my mind summer just begins at July 4th, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
We were so busy with Mark that June just slipped by us.
Mark and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I don't have any great big opening comments other than to wish everyone a happy Independence Day. I hope everyone has a safe weekend. We don't have any incidents in this country over the 4th of July weekend, and that the weather cooperates. We have a good time. So do you have any opening comments, Randy?
Well, thank you for saying Happy Independence Day. I always try and get people to use that term instead of July 4th or 4th of July. So very good.
Well, that's what we're celebrating.
Yes.
I did have seen some interesting trivia of late on the 4th of July, Independence Day. And one of the pieces of trivia that I saw was that the average age of the individuals, men, who signed the Declaration of Independence was 45. So I thought, younger than me. The youngest was, I think, 24, 26, and the oldest was Ben Franklin, who was in his 70s. So kind of interesting group of folks.
I would add to that. I once came across some research that was done, and the fact of the matter was, you know, beyond a few of them, most of them aren't very familiar names historically. And whoever had done this research, I don't recall, but they weren't just a bunch of rabble-rousers. They were all, you know, quite successful, or at least most of them were quite successful, and people of means who really personally weren't out probably a whole lot under the British regime, and they really sacrificed their wealth and their comfortable living to help the country gain their independence, and a great risk. A lot of them ended up losing their families, losing their businesses, their homes, and such. And it was an extraordinary sacrifice for them.
It's humbling to read those stories and realize how principled those folks were and how hard they fought for those principles. And it's a good reminder. It's our duty now to continue doing that.
On a lighter note, I seen something on TV, and I don't know if this was a naturalization test or something else. It was some federal government-related thing where there's a test given, and so I imagine it has to do with naturalization. And one of the questions was what date the Declaration of Independence was signed, and there were three options given, and none of them were 1776. Actually, the correct option wasn't even on the test. It was a printing error or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of an embarrassing faux pas, but I guess what's happened.
Wonder what company was responsible for that. It isn't the one that we've had so much trouble with here, is it?
Hope not.
All right. Brian, any opening comments from you?
No, just thanks for setting the meeting up, and just to make record that the Marine Corps was founded 10 November 1775. That helped. There were some rabble-rousers there that helped in the 1776, just for the record.
Well, we all know that Marines are rabble-rousers. It's just kind of comes with the territory, and they never seem to grow out of it either.
Yes, true statement.
Oh, I can even give you grief from afar, Brian. It's still fun. All right, we'll move on to the one item on the agenda, and that is in my portfolio. We have no items on consent or anything else. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order on amended corridor and amended route in Sakakawea Pipeline LLC, 16-inch crude oil pipeline, McKenzie and Montreal, citing application case number PU-15-114.
Second.
This is a reroute on the previously approved Sakakawea pipeline. This is the 70-mile route that crosses Lake Sakakawea. It's a collaborative process between three companies, one of which is the three affiliated tribes, and they have begun construction, and as is common on pipelines, once they get out in the ground and dealing more closely with the landowners, issues come up and they find some needs for changing the routes that we originally approved. This application came in on May 18th for some reroutes. There's four reroutes requested. They do go outside of the originally approved corridor, but they're shorter than 1.5 miles in total length, so the legislature has prescribed a specific process for approving those types of modifications. We've followed that process. We initiated an opportunity for hearing and a notice of an opportunity for a hearing and comments that was sent out on May 24th. That expired on June 23rd. We did not receive any requests for hearing or any comments, and the company has filed all the necessary paperwork to attest to the fact that there are no exclusion or avoidance areas impacted by these reroutes, that the landowners affected are on board with them, and that they've received approval from the state historical preservation officer on the reroutes where it was necessary to do additional studies and get those approvals in line. So with knowing that, I think this is a pretty straightforward request. We like to work through these in a timely manner to keep the construction process going and moving ahead. North Dakota has a short construction process or construction schedule, and we want to recognize that. That's why we called a special meeting today and gave the company another weekend to work on these things rather than waiting until next Wednesday when we had a regularly scheduled meeting. And we also like to facilitate these kinds of changes because often the company is doing these at the landowner's request. And if it's a problem for them to go through this process and if we hold things up here on our end, then it makes it harder for the companies to agree with the landowners and go forward and make those requests. And we want to make that as easy as possible for them to work with the landowners and accommodate what they like. So everything said, I think we did this as quickly as we can under the law, and I'm happy to support these changes today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I will just add that a lot of the discussion as far as land issues and such, in this case, as I recall, had to do with either the lake crossing or that area immediately to the east of the lake crossing and then just the first few miles after it turned north. And this is all up well north of that. The other thing I would just point out, kind of just general thoughts on these types of cases. Sometimes I get frustrated with changes when they occur before we even have our hearing. And some of them are okay, but the ones that appear to me as cases where the application was just hurried along too much and really wasn't even thought out. And those frustrate me. These kind, although they take the same amount of our staff time and such to work through, I find kind of pleasing. Not the fact that our staff has to dedicate a bunch of extra time to it, but the fact that in the construction process that they're working with landowners and listening and are willing to accommodate these kinds of things, improves those kind of relationships, not only with these specific landowners and this specific company, but with industry and agriculture in general. So I'm always pleased to see us taking on these kinds of situations and making it as accommodating as possible for the people who are out there raising food and fiber for the world and dealing with these kinds of things. And hopefully it's a little less stressful for them when we can make these kinds of changes.
Thank you, Randy. I do think this process represents a good example of how the legislature and industry and the regulators, being ourselves in this case, have worked together to try to find a process that meets everybody's needs. And this allows us to take, you know, a close look at what the changes are, make sure they meet all the requirements under law, do it in a timely manner so the companies aren't held up and can move forward on their timelines, and also address those needs that the landowners express. Maybe landowners haven't fully engaged in the process early enough along, and they finally see the construction team out there on site and think, wait a minute, this would be better over in this way. And so this helps accommodate that, those kinds of situations. And I think it has been working pretty well, and was a good change in the law two sessions ago, and has been pretty effective in application. Brian, any comments?
No, I just support the order and authorize Shelley to sign for me today.
Just one other, I will make one other comment just about the project as a whole. This is the... it's a joint project with Paradigm Midstream, Phillips 66, and the three affiliated tribes operating under a subsidiary called Gray Wolf. And this project will have a maximum capacity of 200,000 barrels per day, with a normal capacity of 140,000 barrels per day. And the total anticipated cost of the project is $125 million. And it's a big project. It will cross the lake, one of the first ones which is actually under construction to do so. And so I think it provides a nice connector point to the two sides of the Bakken, and will help the product move more freely across that barrier and allow the operators to access a wide variety of shipping options on both sides of the lake. So I think it'll reduce truck traffic and have a lot of good alternative benefits.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my portfolio, and that concludes our agenda today. And so we'll open it up for questions.
What do these reroutes kind of consist of? Is it just like individual landowners in a couple stretches or whatnot? Could you maybe kind of speak maybe to about where these are along the route a little bit?
We have maps of them. Okay. And so it looks like I could show you each one of them, but one of them is south of Newtown. And another one is on the other side of west of the lake crossing, north and west of Mandaree. Another one is just a couple miles south of Stanley, so near the north end terminal of the route. And the fourth is right south of Newtown, right about shortly after the crossing of the lake, and a little bit north of the lake crossing on that side. And they're all less than 1.5 miles in length, so they're relatively small reroutes, but they did go outside the original corridor that was approved, so that's why they required a little bit of additional time and a notice of opportunity for a hearing and that sort of thing.
About how many total landowners did this impact? Is it like one or two in each route, or do you know about approximate number?
You know what? I'd have to look into that and see how many different landowners. Let's see. Hold on a second. I've got it. Okay, Exhibit C. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six.
Okay. And is your understanding that this went pretty smoothly? Are there any kind of major hiccups in that? Without any public comment or anything, it would seem that it seemed to have been pretty straightforward.
Right. There was no exclusion or avoidance areas impacted. And so that's always a big thing that we look for. And then the fact that there wasn't any public concerns and the landowners were on board with it, I think those are kind of the key pieces on these reroutes that would trigger any issues.
Did this add any kind of significant additional length to it, or is it just kind of a little curved in these areas? You said it's about approximately 70 miles or whatnot, I think we've reported before, but is it any kind of significant increase in the overall mileage or anything? Or?
Considering that they were all less than 1.5 miles outside the quarter, no, I don't think it did.
Probably just a couple miles, give or take, or something like that.
Correct. And we do have company rep here who you could probably get more specifics.
Right. I think in looking at the maps, all of them together are probably less than two miles of additional, I think.
Would it be fair then to characterize these as landowner concerns that were met?
They said in their application landowner concerns and constructability. Anything else? Okay. Well, that concludes our agenda. Have a great day, everybody, and a happy Independence Day.